Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Wednesday edition. Today's date is the 19th day of March 2008. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you here with me today. We are going to do a bit of a rant for you all. Lots of news, lots of broadcasts of late concerning the financial crimes being committed worldwide. Looks like an asset grab is going on by the criminals. If you notice what's happening here in France, as well as Britain and America, all three places are now targeting certain companies to be consolidated into the criminal fold, that being Société Générale, already set up for its big fall, being stolen by the Rothschild Bank of Banque Nationale de Paris, Paribas. And, of course, so we just witnessed that same event with Morgan Stanley, which is also a Rothschild-inspired company, stealing the Bear Stearns asset portfolio, as well as destroying a company with 15,000 employees and hundreds of thousands of shareholders. Took a company from $100 a share value in January down to $2 a share. And we will be seeing the housing lender Halifax up in Britain also going belly up, as well as probably Royal Bank of Scotland looking like it will get stolen and folded into these to this Rothschild banking crime syndicate. You know, one of the things that I've pointed out over time here is that this syndicate is not just one person. So when I speak about Rothschild being a principal organization behind these crimes, it is not just this man. It's not an individual doing this. There's an Oppenheimer element to it. There's a Brothman element to it. There is a Honig element to it, a Schiff element to it. There are different groups. There is a Goldsmith and Goldman and a Sol element to it. So when you say that it's Rothschild alone, it understates the participation by the lieutenants of this group. Keep an eye on it, ladies and gentlemen, because what it portends is a consolidation of control. They already own many of the privatized assets that have taken place over the last 30 years. You saw that begin in the United States, and then it picked up speed here in Europe recently. Over the last 10 years, France has sold off all of its state assets to this group. And the ones that were private, such as Alstom, they drove the price down to almost zero. Actually, Alstom was a 34 cents a share company at one point, and now it's 121 per share. They drove it down to 34 cents, mopped up all the shares, and then relaunched the company in their control. It's happened throughout Europe, it's happened throughout Britain, and also in Asia, because many of the new Asian tiger companies receive their seed money from these European companies that now are in the hands of this group, as well as the United States. That's why this offshore stuff happening. That's why they moved off the production from the United States and Europe into China, because they seeded China with new businesses, with their money, with their control, with their investment, and then, of course, moved the jobs there, moved the engineering parts of it there, getting the West ready for the shrinking of their economy. And what they will do is try to maintain, you know, the big countries in the future are going to be China and India, and you probably already knew that. You know, there's no, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to see that China is growing in leaps and bounds, but its economy is still not much bigger than France, if it is at all larger than France in its export. Its internal capacity as a country is much larger by virtue of its size, but its export capital is not as big as Germany, and is certainly just around the size of France. But that's going to change, because internal markets within China are going to be an engine of growth for this criminal group. They want to make sure that the Indians all have refrigerators and all have cars and all have new roads and new internal investment. And that's going to take a lot of their capital and a lot of their time, and they're going to make a lot of money off it, while, all the while, America is locked down where generations of people will experience poverty, in my view. And now, do I have a proof of all these claims right now? No, but it seems to me that if you take their history with the acts that they committed, the criminal acts they committed in Russia, by locking the country down, by not allowing people in and out, by having control grid placed across the nation, and then there no resource access. In other words, the public was not able to profit in any way by the huge assets of the Russian Soviet state, the timber and the gold and the oil and the gas and all the rest. Of course, those assets were not utilized until they lowered the wall and started enriching the Russian people. Now, who's behind all this? Again, it's a Zionist confederation. And many people have tried to, of late, make the idea of Zionism anti-Semitic. Now, first of all, the people that are principally controlling this Zionist movement, which is a political movement, it's a socio-economic crime ring, are not by and large Semitic people. So it is a nonsense completely to claim that these people are Semites. They're not. They come from Khazaria. They are Ashkenazi. They are converts to Judaism. And subsequently, they adopted the most virulent and most violent and sick part of the Jewish history and tradition, and that was through the Zohar and through the Talmud, where they're always at war with their enemies. They're always looking on ways to destroy their opponents. It is this same virulent form of Judaism that has forced these people to leave country after country throughout the world. They've been ejected from Britain twice, from France three times, from Spain twice, from Italy, of course, they were kicked out. And of course, this was not the fault, usually, of the rank-and-file Jew, although they were taught to be beneficiaries in some ways, their community was. It was orchestrated by the leadership within this group. And then they were told that everyone hates them because of their religion. Not because of the practices of their elites, but rather because their religion forced them to be hated. But of course, at the same time, this same group is the ones, the elites, are doing the New Bohemian thing, where they've got days set aside each year for group sex with each other. There's rampant sickness within their ranks. There's inbreeding that has taken place within this community as well, a close marriage between first cousins, and all this other stuff, where you end up with a group of people who are apart from the rest of the human family. Now, that doesn't make them subhuman. It makes them a troubling element. And now, we could also give these same attributes to the Sicilian Mafia from Paloma. We could. With their history of vendetta, with their with their allegiance to a crime boss, where the rank and file citizens of Palermo, in fact Paloma, Palermo, lived in poverty, and they were happy to get small jobs, and handouts from these criminal elites down there, just to keep their families alive. And the way they went forward in this world would be an affront to any human who examines the culture, and should be resisted, of course, the La Cosa Nostra. But what you'll also find, ladies and gentlemen, is that they have worked hand in glove with the Zionist criminals throughout history. You will also find communists were invented by this group, and then, of course, worked very closely with them. You'll find the lie of capitalism, which there is no capitalism on our planet. Free markets are a joke, it's a lie, it's never happened. And of course, they use the lie of capitalism for people to go out and say, see, anybody who's not a capitalist is a criminal, and they're repressing the people's ability to have more. Well, you've always been a serf. You've always had a glass ceiling over you, regardless of what system you were living under in either communism or the capitalist world. And granted, throughout the earlier part of this century, the American experiment had a little bit more benefit given it than the European or the Russian. But still, the level of wealth within the society has always been restricted. There was a time, though, in the 40s and 50s where great public universities were born and nurtured in America, where education was valued to a point where public investment in it was a given, and also the access to it was also provided, regardless of financial ability to pay. Today, that is no longer true. It was one of the first things that they began the attack on. You'll notice the name Flexner comes to mind at the turn of the last century. The three brothers, the Flexner brothers, one of them took over medical research through the Rockefeller Institute, the other one education through the national education networks and teaching unions, and then the third Flexner brother, of course, was one of the founding members of the Zionist cabal that started Israel. So they all worked very closely with the Zionist criminal Rothschild and with the Zionist criminal Rockefeller in the United States. But all of this stuff is historic. And, of course, so when we talk about Zionism, we shouldn't talk about it as a Jewish religion. It isn't. And it is certainly not anti-Semitic to discuss this. It is instead an accurate way of examining exactly who is killing us and who is stealing from us and who is on the verge of imploding our financial world. You know, the things you've been witnessing of late are only the beginning, because in each level of descent that we end falling to, there are going to be people who are not going to be digging themselves back out. The pool of poverty will just grow from this point forward, and we've already got an expanding pool of poverty. We've got 15 to 20% of the American population already living below the level of poverty. That will be 50% by the time they're done with this implosion. And those who were there first in the poverty level are going to even be more destitute. They're not going to have handouts per se as they would have hoped. Why? Because the need will be too great, and it will translate into premature death for these people, and illness and disease and starvation in some instances. And of course, to control these masses of the poor, there will be draconian measures. And these are all happening now. And they don't really care that you know, because it's obvious to anybody who even spends a few moments looking into this that that's exactly what's happening around them. And yet, there is really no stopping the information. The information's getting out, ladies and gentlemen. You're hearing it here. You're hearing it a lot of places. You're able to read the articles that prove it, and yet they don't worry that much about it getting out. Although, granted, I have been attacked mercilessly here on my computer system, and that, you know, that has been a difficulty for me here at the French Connection. But by and large, that, you know, they're going ahead with their plans. And also, I think they want to get the Jewish community in America frightened of the public in the United States, and maybe have them start departing America for Israel, fearful that there's going to be a backlash against them. Now, most of the Jews that are cowering right now in America, reading the tea leaves, don't understand that it's an orchestrated event happening by their leadership. You see the blindness that is apparent in the community, the Jewish community across America, is frightful. You know, I watched a video again. It's on ProThink's website, and I had seen it before by a guy named David Cole going over to Auschwitz, and it was frightening the points that were made in that thing. But what was interesting, and what I wanted to bring up, is not necessarily the facts pertaining to that video, but rather the bravery in this young man to stand up and be counted as among the people wanting information. This is, he asked questions and said, "I want information." Now, all I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Jewish community needs to be informed so that they can dismantle this crime network from within. As allies working from within their own community, they can do far more damage than we can from outside. In fact, if they haven't got any lieutenants and and foot soldiers pulling the levers of crime in America for them, then they won't be able to get away with the crimes. You see, it is a multi-pronged educational demand that we are all facing here. You know, a lot of people have started talking about, you know, getting a gun, bullets. I'm all for personal ownership of firearms in America, and I urge everybody who doesn't have a firearm to get one and learn how to use it. However, a gun generally is going to benefit them in the long run, because out of violence and anarchy oftentimes comes deeper control. And because they hold the press control and the reporting control of this, what it will end up doing is injuring the movement of truth more than helping it. Were we to be in control of the press, it would be a different animal together, but that's not the case. And so for personal protection and for those ultimate bad moments coming, I think, rather soon here, certainly a firearm is going to keep people from stealing your food and so forth. But as a means of taking down this government in advance of not already owning the press organs, it's useless. Now, what does that mean? What could we do to take the press back? There's another question. You know, some people would advocate taking it at the point of a gun. I don't think that would be able. The fact is that they would shut down access of that confiscated press, and then it wouldn't get its circulation any longer. If it were a TV channel, the satellite would be shut down to it. If it were a newspaper, they would destroy the printing of it. If it's the internet, they're going to destroy your access to the website. So the press is the first major place where we have to start placing our efforts. And then if you wanted to take it a step further after the press was under our control, then we certainly could do it with ease. In fact, if we own the press right now, ladies and gentlemen, the crimes that these people have been committing over the years would be exposed immediately. The key has always been actually the press and the control over the information stream. And frankly, unless and until we take that back, we're always going to be marginal, and our efforts are always going to be thwarted. So, how do we do it exactly? You know, I've had suggestions, I've had ideas, but none of it seems to be working. In that, we'll be able to actually do something with it with the way we are organized. It doesn't look like it's happening. Now, the internet has done a heck of a job at informing people how desperate our situation is, and of course it also works in the opposite direction with people like Alex Jones alluding to this not being a Jewish conspiracy, and then only giving superfluous and extraneous support for the facts around 9/11 having been done by Israel, and the people who are in control being from the Ashkenazi Jewish Zionist movement. He doesn't point you in that direction. Only in passing will he make those statements. So I have to say, the word doesn't get out deep enough into the mainstream. It doesn't make its way into the minds of the people who really need to hear these facts, sadly. Again, though, I mean, if you use Yahoo search engine and place Daryl Bradford Smith in quotes, you'll get 96,000 hits for me, so it does mean that we have had some penetration. We have made a certain footprint here in the world with these facts, but it's certainly not enough. I mean, 96,000, it should be 96 million in order to make a difference. You know, if I ever see the day that we're breaking over a million people understanding these facts as we are putting them out through our books and research projects, I will be heartened by those facts. And then we will begin to challenge the mainstream. And now that always has required you to do the legwork for the French Connection, because I'm a voice here on this broadcast trying to share what I understand about this conspiracy and tell you what I think is next in line for us. But certainly I can't make you share this information with your neighbor or your brother or your parents or a passerby or somebody you work with or any of these things. I can't do that for you. That has to be done bite. And that really, ladies and gentlemen, is our only hope. You know, when I watched Ron Paul here deny that 9/11 was a government and Israeli inside job on a talk show, and then turn around and see people still supporting this sack of dog do. The guy got $30 million dollars donated to him. I think it's higher than that now, and has millions of people across the country supporting him. Where's the support for the facts that we know are real? Where is it? You know, and going forward with this into the minds of the American public and getting people to understand just how bad this really is and how desperate our nation's future is a matter of life and death for many. And it will be a certain matter of loss of freedom for everyone that really cares about this in the United States. You know, they are a very tiny minority doing this to us. They're doing it through lie and deception. That's how they control. And they're masters at it. They've been doing it successfully for, I would guess, millennia, as it's turning out. You know, this is what my proof is beginning to show me, that this has gone back 1,000 years or more. But I believe we have had a unique opportunity here to take advantage of this new medium, the Internet, before it gets shut down. And that if we can wake up enough people in advance of that event, we have a shot at saving ourselves. But we can't do it from a racist standpoint. We have to do it as these people are criminals. We can't do it by condemning religions because, frankly, religions across the world are committing crimes left, right, and center, and usually at the urgings of this Zionist criminal group. And frankly, I don't even think that most of these people in the leadership of world Zionism even are religious. I just think they're megalomaniac, power-hungry madmen and psychopaths and sociopaths. And I don't think they follow even the evil side of this. I think that's for the pablum for the masses to absorb. However, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, over here, I want to say something about the donations. I want to say that I'm grateful for the tens and fifteen dollars and euros that have been sent here to French Connection. I never receive large donations, never get them, but I'm grateful for the ones that I do get, and they do help me here. I recently received a small sum of money, but it was a sum of money that was desperately needed to keep my phones going. And I told you there was some good news recently that I found a calling plan that I got the same kind of a worldwide access for a bit cheaper here. It's saving me some money. Computer problems. I had an expert come in. I had to buy new equipment, new firewall, new machines, because the viruses on the other couldn't be fixed. That's how bad I got hit recently. And then the streaming information that's been sent shut down on IamTheWitness.tv. Our monetary issues, our financial issues, we couldn't afford it. You know, we bought the initial server, the dedicated server, and did 3 months worth of purchasing on that system, and now we can't continue to stream until we get a little bit more money in the coffers. And that stuff gets handled out of my webmaster up in Sweden's work, and he also supports the book repository where many of the publications we've placed on the site come from as well. We have more books coming, by the way, more information coming out, new books to be put up. Many of you have read the ones that are up there already. Of course, many haven't, but they are a wealth, and we have more information ready to be released soon, so keep an eye out for that. But your help is needed. Your support for this broadcast is needed. And I know people come to the site to get updated on what's happening financially. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. All I can do is look at what I see and know the history of this and use my experience in finance and in business to make predictions on some of these things, and others connect the dots and show you what I see, and then, believe it or not, wait for it to happen. And sadly, since November, I've been pretty close to spot on many of these things, and I worry that my next predictions are certainly not far off into the future here. Now, do I think that this is going to just turn into a complete flattened pile all at once? No, nothing ever happens in that linear method. It's just it's a slow moving train wreck on the way here. Now, certainly people at the top or even in the upper middle class will be better positioned to survive what's coming in America and in Canada and in other parts of the world. And they will probably go about their business quietly, trying to stay below the radar of these criminals and not make much of a fuss if we don't get any more traction for these facts. But the people in the bottom, the people who are already showing up at tent villages and looking for charities to help them eat, this number is going to swell enormously in Europe as well as in America. And I have to worry that as each month passes, there will be more suffering directly as a result of what these people have done. So we can make the suffering that we are all going to face not in vain by being successful at sharing this information with others. And of course, this broadcast is one of the main places for that, so I'm hoping you can continue to support me. I wasn't going to do a broadcast today, but I decided that I would spend the time doing it because I think a lot of people look to this show on a regular basis as a way of thinking that something's being done on their behalf. I would prefer that you come to the website and come to the broadcast as a supplement to the things you're doing to save the country. You know, I still get 7,000 to 10,000 people, depending on the day, and very little promotion outside of my own website. Most people don't put me up. So what we really need to do is more penetration. Go back out onto the boards, if you will, the wake-up-from-your-slumber type boards, the chat rooms, and begin to push again the ideas that we've been accurate about these things and say, look, this guy's nailed it. He's got it right. How do you refute somebody who's been making correct calls for months on end here and look at the books that are on his site? I mean, from top-notch people, how do you refute these facts and make the argument in some of these chat rooms and some of these blogs and other places, these websites where you can post? We need that kind of exposure, ladies and gentlemen. So, again, this is just a short little Wednesday rant, wishing all of you to follow some of these recommendations and work harder, and understand that I have a guest coming up. I'm going to be contacting soon here my good friend Andrew Carrington Hitchcock for another installment. We've had some time off because of computer problems, and we're going to revisit his information shortly here and put more information out from his book, The Synagogue of Satan. So until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please be well. Bye-bye now.